Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Apex Church, it's a joy to be joining you online this morning. I've missed you and I'm excited for what this weekend is going to hold. I love your pastors, Neil and Phyllis, very much. They have been a tremendous encouragement to me in recent years, especially during what has been a very strange time through the pandemic. And I'm so grateful for their friendship. They are a blessing, not only to me, but to you too, and I'm sure you know that. Anyway, I have a word that is burning in my heart, and I'm going to get straight into it. I believe it's going to help you and encourage you this morning. So let's pray, and then I'll start preaching. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do indeed thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, I ask right now that every man, woman, and child that is watching this broadcast today will have their minds renewed, their souls refreshed, and their hearts transformed. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak through me. Speak to your people today. Give them a word in season. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message is this: Building on the Rock. I wonder, have you ever had a bad day? The job didn't go to plan. You woke up with that same pain. The sale of your house fell through. The dream broke down. Perhaps you had a fallout with your spouse. Maybe the exam results weren't what you were expecting. I have a good friend called Mark, and in Mark's garden is a pond, and situated next to that pond is a rather large and relatively flat rock. Now, this rock is not just a decorative feature. It is a bit more than that. Mark deliberately positioned that rock there in preparation for those tough days, those challenging days, those unfair days that everyone has in life. But what Mark does on his bad days is he goes down to that rock and he stands on it. He thinks on that rock. He reflects on that rock. But most importantly, Mark prays on that rock. For in that very moment, he is reminded who's on his side, who is for him, and that with God, things will get better. Our passage of text today comes from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, and it is Jesus speaking. I'm gonna unpack it a little bit more in a moment, but let me read to you his words. He says this: "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When we arrive in Matthew 7, 24, Jesus is concluding a talk to his disciples. He had been teaching them a number of things that are recorded in the previous two chapters. Things like loving your enemies, going the extra mile, how to pray and fast, doing good deeds like giving to charity. He spoke to them on priorities and how we must seek God first in everything we do. He also spent quite a bit of time on the subject of worry, about not worrying about tomorrow, trusting in God to meet your daily needs. And there were a number of other topics that Jesus discussed with those disciples too. But basically, he was defining and highlighting some core Christian values, principles and truths to live by that are going to help followers of Christ live a full and fruitful life. So to emphasize the importance of adhering to his instructions, he uses a story about two builders. Both constructed a house, yet one was called wise, the other was called foolish. Now, I cannot answer for you, but if given the choice, I would argue that the majority of us would want to be wise. It's not much fun being foolish. Having wisdom is the ability to judge correctly and follow the best course of action based on knowledge and understanding. In other words, it is the power of discernment. King Solomon, from the Old Testament, he had all the wealth in the world. He was one of the richest men to have ever walked the earth. But when God asked him in 1 Kings 3 verse 9 what else he needed, Solomon asked God for a discerning heart. The one thing he wanted more of was wisdom, not more money. Not more power, not more fame, not more influence, not more social media followers. He wanted wisdom. He wanted a discerning heart, for he knew that if he acquired more wisdom, then everything else would follow. Proverbs 16:16 says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver." So as Jesus shares this parable and the significance of being wise, it is important to note what he says first. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. If you've got your Bible right there, underline those few words. And puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. This is a crucial part of this conversation. It is not enough to just hear things. My 5-year-old daughter Lila is very good at hearing me tell her to tidy up her toys. She acknowledges my request. She understands what I am asking of her. She knows where everything is supposed to go. However, we still seem to fall a little bit short at the putting those words into practice part. And I'm sure I'm not the only parent that has similar challenges. We can all hear things, sound advice, solid feedback, sensible instructions. But what do you do? What do you do once you have heard them? Take Sunday, for example. You come to church or you tune in online to watch a good sermon or to hear a good sermon. And in a moment, it puts a smile on your face or perhaps even challenges you to want to make changes in your life. However, by Monday morning, you have forgotten what was said, not intentionally, but perhaps the day got busy and you had other things to do. Now, I would say the main reason it slipped your mind is because you forgot to action what was said. Actions help you remember. Doing something practical assists your ability to learn. Growing up, I didn't enjoy taking tests or exams. To me, they were like a form of punishment. I would clam up, my mind would go blank, beads of sweat would run across my brow. I didn't understand their importance. But now I can see the value in sitting a test. for they are a practical way of demonstrating that you have taken on board everything that you have been taught. Now, don't get me wrong, exam results do not define you. You are more than a grade on a piece of paper, but they do show you how far you have come or how far you've got to go. Actions demonstrate we heard. We heard what was said. And surely that is the level, that is the key, to any level of success. To listen and then apply, to hear and then do, to process and then execute. Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. And that was the first mistake of the foolish builder. He didn't put into action what he heard, whereas the wise builder did. The second major difference between these two builders, and this is what I really want to focus on today, is what they built their foundations on. I am not a builder by trade, and I have no experience in that field. In fact, I am hopeless at any sort of DIY or activities that involve making things. If you had seen me just a couple of months ago assisting my wife in trying to piece together our little girl's new bed, you would see that I am not lying. Oh, do pray for my wife, Lisa. The struggle in my house is very, very real. But despite my incompetencies and shortcomings in this area, I do know this, that when you build a house, you do not start with the roof first, nor do you install your front door or put in the windows. No, you begin with the foundations. Everything rests on the foundations. Do you know why the Leaning Tower of Pisa is leaning? Because it was built on uneven foundations due to the soft ground underneath. Foundations are essential for everything else to be in order. A shifting foundation means your house is in trouble from the start. In this parable, these builders may have had the same tools, the same budget, the same brief, but one thing is for certain, they didn't start in the same place. The foolish man went to the sand, which represents quick work, easy work, cheap work. I wonder if you have ever built a sandcastle at the beach. Oh, it's great fun. They can look awesome. You can get as creative with your design as you desire. They can have bridges and balconies, turrets and towers. It can be small or it can be extremely large. But I doubt you'd live in your sandcastle. Why? Because one wave would destroy it. Sand is good for pitching a tent in or a form of temporary accommodation, but it would not fare well as a permanent abode, especially when a storm rolls in. And Jesus said that with this storm, the rain came down, the streams began to rise, and the wind blew and beat against that house that it fell with a great crash. So no matter how exceptional its construction was, how good it looked on the eye, because that foundation was not attached to solid ground, it came to its destruction, meaning this builder, this house, lost everything. Whereas the man who Jesus describes as wise, he built his house on a rock foundation. My builder friends tell me that it is not easy building on a rock. It's going to cost you more. exert more energy, take more time. However, the Bible says that when the relentless rain beat against this house, it withstood the pressure. And when the violent wind began to blow, it was not shaken. And when the flood waters rose, it was not washed away, because its foundation was anchored to the rock. Now, you may be saying, okay, Luke, that's good, but what does that mean for me? Well, firstly, I need to make it clear that Jesus here is not necessarily referring to a physical house that you and I live in. In the Bible, a house is referred to in a few different ways. A house can refer to your personal life, the who you are, and the interests you keep. A house can refer to your family. A house can refer to the church. So in other words, Jesus is challenging us on what we build our lives on. There is no question about which foundation is stronger, but he is asking you, which one do you live on? Are you on the rock or are you on the sand? By building on the sand means that you are placing your trust in things that are here today and gone tomorrow. Our earthly possessions. Oh, we just live for getting more money or owning a bigger house or driving a better car. Perhaps you build your life on your career, your identity, or your intelligence. Or maybe for you, everything in life is about your status in society and trying to please other people or who you want to be seen connecting with. Your life is so focused on the materialism and the temporal stuff that there's very little room or no room at all for God. The danger with living this way is that if you have built everything around yourself and you encounter a bad day or things do not work out, then how do you shelter when the storms of life sweep in? Where do you find your peace when all hell breaks loose? Who then do you run to when you accomplish what you set out to do and that buzz of satisfaction wears off and you have nowhere else to go? 1 John 2:15 reminds us that the things of this world, the desires of our flesh, the longing of our eyes, the pride in our possessions will pass away. That's what happens when you build your life on the sand. By building on the rock means that you have decided to build your life on the truth of God's word, an eternal foundation that cannot be destroyed. The rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I need to be honest and say that just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean that your life will now be completely trouble-free. And this parable makes that abundantly clear. In life, we all will face some storms. Every single one of us. Private storms, public storms. Storms you can prepare for, storms which take you by surprise. And I'm not talking about storms that include some thunder or lightning. No, I'm talking about those emotional storms, mental storms, physical storms, spiritual storms. Perhaps you are in a storm right now, and maybe your storm is the loss of a loved one. Maybe a bad medical report has come through. Perhaps you've run into some financial difficulties. Maybe you have suffered a relationship breakup or a relationship breakdown. Maybe it's overwhelming anxiety, which is your storm. I mean, it is so bad that it keeps you up all night, every night. Maybe you're in an identity crisis right now, that so much has happened to you, so much has been said about you, that you don't even know who you are anymore. Maybe your storm is an addiction that just will not break. Maybe your children are in trouble. Perhaps your job isn't what it once was. Storms. Oh, do you know, people panic. People drift. People walk away when they're in a storm. Because we live in a fallen world, battles, challenges, and trials are going to come. You will still feel grief, experience pain, shed tears. But what you build your life on will determine whether you have the strength to pass through that storm or whether you come crashing down. For a storm will always put to test what you are standing on. Oh, I'm getting going now. I'm getting excited right now. Do you know, it's no coincidence. It is no coincidence that one of the metaphors used for God and Jesus in the Bible is a rock. For a rock is strong, sturdy, stable, immovable, resolute, resilient. Oh, friend, don't neglect building your life on the rock. Focus on your foundation. Draw close to Him. Open up your Bible. Open up your Bible each day. Depend on His word. Hear His voice. Follow in His ways. Learn to trust Him. Worship Him. Be a part of the local church. Oh, I thank God. I thank God for your local church and the impact that it has on your community, your city, and beyond. Oh, for there is nothing quite like the local church, where we can gather together to encourage one another in our faith, where we can glorify the name above every other name through our corporate worship, where in unity we can hear what God is saying to us all through the powerful teaching of His word. Oh, do you know that God has an answer for your greatest need, and it is found in the study of His word? Oh, this here is your sure foundation. Oh, as I finish today, I don't know what storm you're in right now, but I do know from my own experience that when you build your life on Jesus, they cannot and will not destroy you. For when your hope is anchored to Christ, your faith fixed to Christ, your identity secured in Christ, then you have an assurance, a guarantee that He is with you. He will strengthen you. He will go before you both now and forever. That is a promise. We know that when Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins, 3 days later, He conquered death by rising again and opening up a way for you and I to spend all eternity with Him in heaven. Where in Revelation 21 verse 4 says that He will wipe away every tear from your eye. That there will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. Oh friend, that is the hope that we cling to. That is the truth that we attach our trust on, that no matter how bad, how dark, how rough it gets, you will withstand the storm. Oh, wherever you are watching this from today, you need to know that God's message is one of victory. God is not leading you into defeat. John 16:33 says this, in this world you will have trouble. You will have trouble. But then Jesus goes on to say, but take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus laid down His life because your life matters. He wore a crown of thorns so that you could wear a crown of life. Whatever storm you are facing today, it doesn't have to be the end for you. Don't be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. He heard the things of God, but he chose not to follow His instructions. Yes, his house, his life, his family, oh, it all looked good on the outside. But it was the storm that truly revealed how strong his foundations really were. And don't wait Don't wait for a storm or difficult circumstances to invade your existence before making a decision to get to Christ. Even if you have had a level of success without a strong foundation built on the word, the truth, and promises of God, then you will at some point come crashing down. Make a change today. It's not too late. The Lord wants to help you. You are not beyond repair. You can start again. You can move to a new level. You can rebuild and fix your life by getting your heart right with Jesus Christ. For my Bible tells me that Jesus, He is your rock. He is your hope. He is your joy. He is your peace. He is your protection. He is your provider. He is your redeemer. He is your salvation. He is your strength. And He loves you. God loves you. Build your life on the rock. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Whenever I get the chance to speak about Jesus, I always want to take a moment to give you an opportunity to make your peace with God, to invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life, to enter into a life-transforming personal relationship with Him. I've already told you the good news that Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. But 3 days later, the grave could hold Him no more. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead. In rising from the dead, He smashed through the chains of sin. He broke through the bonds of death, and He made a way for you and I to be forgiven, accepted, and loved. The Bible calls this love the gift of salvation. His love, the gift of salvation. Oh, you cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. You cannot work for it. But if you are to repent of your sins, which means say sorry to God and turn towards Him and reach out in faith and ask Him to come alive in you, then He will do just that. And your life will never be the same again. Perhaps you've never made this decision before. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard the words that God loves you. Well, I'm speaking to you. Or perhaps once upon a time, you had said yes to Jesus. You were living for Him, but maybe the storms of life have knocked you off course, and you know you're not living the life that Christ has called you to live. You've backslidden. You've fallen away. But today, something is stirring again in your heart, and you know that you need to get your life right with Jesus. And I'm speaking to you as well. So here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to lead you through a simple prayer of faith. And I want you to pray it after me. And once I've prayed the prayer, I know one of the pastors there is going to get up and tell you what to do next. But come on, let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes, and let's pray this prayer together after me. Let's pray. Dear God, thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Today I ask You to come into my heart and to forgive me from my sins. Father, I turn towards You and I accept Your gift of grace. I ask that You would use me as a follower of Christ to make Your name known all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, the Bible says that there is a party going on in heaven right now because of that decision you just made. Let me tell you, it's the best decision you will ever make. And I am absolutely delighted for you. It's been a privilege to join you today. And I look forward to seeing you in person very, very soon.